Welcome to another edition of Bible Truths. My name is Chris Menzer, part-time evangelist for the 8th Street Church of Christ. Let's get started in our lesson today. If you would, open up your Bibles to the New Testament, to the book of Luke, chapter 16. We're going to look at the verses 19 through 31. I'm going to go ahead and read that right now. This is a lengthy passage, so if you would like to follow along, we'll get started. Luke chapter 16, starting at verse 19. This is the story of the rich man and Lazarus. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at the gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torments in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come also to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. Now this passage, of course, is a discussion of that of the land of Hades. And for those of you who might be familiar with the TV series of Hercules, The Legendary Journeys, and Xena, Warrior Princess, you'll be understand from Greek mythology, the concept of Hades was the Greek god of the underworld. And the underworld, of course, is where the souls went from this life into the next. Half of it was called Tartarus, or the place of torment, and the other side was called the Elysian Fields, or Paradise. And of course, depending on how you lived your life was depending on where you spent your eternity. But the problem is a lot of people look at that place as being nothing more than just a fictional place or something within mythology. What we want to look at today is the truth of what Hades really is. Now, a lot of times people will look at the parable as just a parable from Luke chapter 16. If you look at the first few verses, we have the parable of the unjust steward, and then Jesus from there goes into the story of the rich man and Lazarus. So a lot of people dismiss this story of the rich man and Lazarus as nothing more than a parable. But let's ask first, what exactly is a parable? In Eason's Bible Dictionary, the definition there is, it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, as in the parables of our Lord. Instruction by parables has been in use from the earliest times. A large portion of our Lord's public teaching consisted of parables. From Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words, according to Vine's, a parable contains the literal meaning to lay down beside, and in the sense of spoken discourse, it indicates some idea laid beside another as an analogy or a comparison. But since this story has no analogy or a comparison aspect, we can simply refer to the fact that the story of rich man and Lazarus is just indeed a narrative and not a parable. A question arose from the disciples to Jesus, and why did he speak in parables? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 13, look at verses 10 through 16 for that answer. Matthew chapter 13, verses 10 through 16. And the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is filled, which says, hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. And the parallel passages also could be found in Mark chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, and Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Purpose, of course, then to speak in parables is the fact that Jesus wanted people to actually dig into the scriptures to understand the context of what they were talking about. The Pharisees and the Sadducees that were there, they were the men who were upholding the truth, or so they believed to be the truth according to the scriptures, but they didn't necessarily follow everything according to what the scriptures teach. And Jesus talks a lot about that in Matthew chapter 23. But first, let's now assume that Hades isn't real. Let's say that Hades is just a story that Jesus used. And let's see then what the problems are in regards to that. If you turn with me to John chapter 5, look at verses 28 and 29. We'll take a look at this, because if we say that Hades isn't real, then the people that die from this life and pass into the next will proceed on to judgment and then on into the afterlife, be it heaven or hell. Let's look at what Jesus had to say in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29. There it is written, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation." Here's the question. How can these people come forth from the graves to the judgment without Hades? This verse would be invalid if that were true. Another time, people will look at you and say that if a loved one had passed away, say their grandmother or even their own mother, and that say they're up in heaven and they're looking down upon us and smiling at us at all the things that we are doing. Well, the problem we have with that, though, is that the dead know nothing, and that is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. Let's turn back there in the Old Testament, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 4 through 6. There it is written, "But for him who is joined to all the living, there is hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing. And they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Also their love, their hatred, and their envy now have perished. Nevermore will they have a share in anything done under the sun." Now what this means is, it doesn't mean that the individuals that are dead no longer know who they are or where they are or even what their life was on earth. All it is saying is that the dead do not know what is currently going on in the world of the mortals here on earth. Everything that they have learned, everything that they've known from their past life before they died, they will still retain in the afterlife. So that shows that nobody is actually looking down upon us from heaven. And of course, if Hades wasn't real, then of course some others will automatically be in heaven or hell before us. And again, as we go back to John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, it says, "All shall hear who are in the graves, hear Jesus' voice." If they're already in heaven and hell, they're not going to hear Jesus' voice when he calls. And another example in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one receives a thing done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." This means all individuals will appear before Jesus, and it'll most likely be all at the same time. It won't be one at a time as we die, but all will appear before him. But we know that Hades is indeed real, and we're going to look at some scriptures to support this. If you turn back with me to the Old Testament, we're going to look at the word Sheol, which is the Hebrew word for the land of the dead, or the underworld. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 1 through 7, we hear David's song. We're going to look at verses 5 through 7 for this. 2 Samuel chapter 22, starting at verse 5. There it says, "When the waves of death surround me, the floods of ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrows of Sheol surround me, the snares of death confronted me. In my distress I call upon the Lord and cried out to my God. He heard my voice from his temple, and my cry entered his ears." And here it shows the people from the Old Testament knew what Sheol was, that it was a place for the land of the dead. Another example can be found in Psalm 16, verses 9 through 11, which is a psalm of David. Psalm 16, sorry, verse 9, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You shall show me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Another example in the Old Testament can be found in Jonah chapter 2, which is Jonah's prayer. In the interest of time, we'll not go through the whole chapter, but this is Jonah's prayer in the belly of the great fish, in which he compares to being in Sheol. Let's then turn to the New Testament and take a look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verses 20 through 24. He was rebuking the cities, for though they were great, they refused to repent. Let's look closely at verses 23 and 24 of this. Matthew chapter 11, we're looking at verses 23 and 24. It says, "And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you and had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Another example can be found from the Apostle Paul writing to the letter to Corinth, the church in Corinth. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll look at verses 50 through 55. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50, Paul writes, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying which is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory?" Next thing we want to then look at is going back to our text in Luke chapter 16. We want to then enter into the gates of Hades and look more closely at this passage of the rich man and Lazarus. We've already read the passage at the beginning of the lesson, but let's look a breakdown of the passage itself. Now we know we have two individuals that passed from life into Hades. The rich man had no lack of anything, and the Lazarus, who was a beggar, had absolutely nothing. But when both individuals died and were carried into Hades, Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, which can be found on the side of what is called paradise. And the rich man was sent then to Tartarus, or the place of torment. There was a great gulf that was fixed between the two of them, so that one side could not travel to the other, nor the other side travel to the first. We know that both individuals recognized one another, as because the rich man cried out to Abraham to ask Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in the cool water that might touch his tongue to cool him, for he was in torments in the flames. So here we know that even in the afterlife, we recognized one another. And of course, there was great emotions that were given because the rich man was suffering greatly. And there was a memory of that they lived on earth, because the rich man talked about his five brothers that he had still at his house and requested Abraham send Lazarus from the dead back to his brother's house so they might learn about the truth and avoid coming to this side of Hades. And of course, from this also we learned that we have an ability to communicate in the afterlife. Another example we want to look at is the discussion of the church. And if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, we'll look at verses 13 through 19. Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 19. This is Jesus talking about the church. It says, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered and said, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of it, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." So this shows that the gates of Hades are not going to stop the creation of the church. Because yes, Jesus had to die for the church because his blood is what paid for the church. And that's found in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. But he came back from the dead, raised from the dead, and shows that the bounds and the bounds of Hades and death could not hold Jesus. And his resurrection gives us hope for the afterlife. And that is something we'll look here in just a couple minutes. Another reference we want to look at is Luke chapter 23, verses 40 through 43. And this is the crucifixion scene in which Jesus was talking to the one thief. Luke chapter 23, starting at verse 40, and this is referring to the second thief. It says, "But the other answering rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not even fear God, since we are under condemnation? And we indeed justly receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong.' Then he said, 'Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And Jesus said to him, 'Assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.'" Now here's a question. What was Jesus referring to when he said, "You will be with me in paradise"? Was he saying that it was taking him to heaven? And the answer is no. The reason for that was, if Jesus went straight to heaven, what would be the point of him coming back to earth to be after the resurrection? So Jesus was taken to the land of paradise, where he spent time in Hades along with the thief. And therefore, after that, he was then raised from the dead. He left Hades, breaking the gates of Hades and returning from the resurrection. Now, another thing we want to look at is that of the Holy Spirit knowing that Hades is real. As we supported Jesus knowing that Hades is real, we know also that the Holy Spirit is in agreement with Jesus on this. And Peter supports Jesus' teaching. Let's look at Acts chapter 22, verses 22 through 32. This is the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost. We're not going to look at the whole sermon there, but if you look specifically at verses 24 through 27. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 24, the Apostle Peter says, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption.'" Also, in regards to Peter supporting Jesus' teaching, he discussed the place for misguided angels. In 2 Peter chapter 2, looking at verses 4 and 9. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 9. Verse 4 first, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell," or Hades, "and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment." Verse 9 also says, "Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust under the punishment for the day of judgment." In both verses, you'll know the phrase "reserved for judgment." Exactly where are they being reserved? And the answer is Hades, or the land of the dead. The Apostle Paul also supports Jesus' teaching in regards to Hades and in regards to death. Now, in the interest of time, we're not going to read all these passages, but we'll just cite them to get an understanding. It talks about Jesus abolishing death in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10. It also refers to Jesus as becoming the first fruits of them who dies, and that's stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 20. And he also talks about being the first begotten from the dead, found in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. From here, we know that there is hope then from beyond Hades, that our lives will not, our afterlife will not just be in the land of the dead, as we had talked about in Greek mythology. That is where they had stated that the souls that die will basically live for all of eternity. But we know there is more to it than just the land of the dead, and Hades. If you turn back with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we're going to look at the bulk of this chapter. Paul discusses Christ's resurrection in regards to this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to look at verses 3 through 8 to begin. 1 Corinthians 15, sorry, verse 3, it says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all he was seen by me also, by one born out of due time." Here it shows that Christ's resurrection is the increase of that. Next we want to look at then, without confidence in the resurrection, then we have no faith, or our faith is in vain. Look in then verses 12 through 20 of 1 Corinthians 15. It says, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If you in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep." Another example is that there is no fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, looking at verses 14 through 16, the writer of Hebrews says, "Inasmuch then as children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham." This shows that we have no need of fear of death, of the afterlife, especially if we're going to make it to heaven. The judgment scene found in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following is a lengthy verse, and well, you can look at that in your own times if you would, but it's the judgment scene and shows that there is life beyond Hades once all the tombs are open and everybody is ascended before the judgment. And finally, we know as a hope beyond Hades that Jesus has the keys. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, it says there, "I am he who lives and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." So in conclusion, we want to look at a couple of things. First, we want to look at what happens then to Hades and death in the end, once the earth is done away with and we are headed into heaven and hell. The answer can be found in Revelation chapter 20, looking at verses 13 and 14. There it says, "The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, and each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death." So we ask you today, on which side of the gulf of the rich man Lazarus story will you reside on? You reside on the side of torment where the rich man and others are because they had not abided by the teaching and the truth of the gospel? Or will you be on the side of paradise with Lazarus, Abraham, and the others who had obeyed the gospel and done what is right according to the word of God? I hope that you had benefited from this and hope that you will understand that Hades is indeed a real place and that those of us here from this life will pass on to the next life and stop in Hades first before we proceed to the judgment day and to decide whether we go to heaven or hell. I thank you for listening to our lesson today. I hope that you have benefited from this. If there's anything we can do from you, you'll see the telephone number posted and also an opportunity to visit the website for CFC Mesa, which is the Church of Christ on A Street. Give us an opportunity to talk to you and we can set up a Bible study or come down and see us at the church building and help us to help you understand what it means to be a disciple or a child of God as it is written in the Scriptures. We hope that you have benefited from these lessons in the past, and we'll look forward to more as we present them in the coming future. We thank you for your